Could you turn? I'll tell you what, not Ecclesiastes tonight. I'll tell you what, it's a little intense. Today was an intense day for me. This morning, what's going on in the world is real intense, isn't it? Yeah, keep looking up, all right? Keep looking up. I'll go to 1 Corinthians to start with, and we'll go back to Psalms. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Mr. Marvell, anybody who'd like an outline for tonight, I'm just taking a break from Ecclesiastes. We'll go back to it, but anybody like an outline, I hope I have enough for anybody who wants one, okay? Let's look at this verse, verse 13. I've often wanted to preach a message from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and then it says, quit you like men. And you know what I wanted my message to be titled, Brother Steve? Real men quit. Well, doesn't that say that? Quit you like men. Real men quit. I've been trying to think every which way how to come up with a message from this verse here. Real men quit. Quit you like men. Well, I'll tell you what. If you really want to figure that out, it's helpful to go back to the Greek. And it's so easy with a computer lexicon these days. And the expression, quit you like men, is actually one Greek word. And it's the word, let me see here, andridzomai. Okay, andridzomai, maybe, I think is what it is. It's a big word, andridzomai, quit you. And what it means is the translation or transliteration is to make a man of, to make a man of, or to show oneself a man, or to be brave. And of course, we have many times people will say, amongst guys, perhaps, be a man. Be a man now. Man up. And so that's really the message of this verse. Be a man. Quit you like men. Now, that's a good verse. I like it. But the message is going to go along with that, short message, but it's about somebody who did quit. And we have to go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 78, to find the man who quit. His name is Ephraim, or the children of Ephraim, but really Ephraim is our individual here that we're looking at tonight. And to try to get a few thoughts from this that can strengthen us in this day and age in which we live. It's good to see all of you here. This is a good crowd for Sunday night. Great crowd, in fact, for Sunday night. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Now, it says, showing to the generation to come. How important is that? That we adults that are in here, older individuals, people who have been saved for periods of time, to be showing to the generation to come. There has to be a next generation. I've preached on that. Without a next generation, unless the Lord comes back now, we're doomed. So showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works. Notice that word works. It's in verse 4, it's in verse 7, it's in verse 11. His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. How important it is for us that are parents and grandparents to be praying for, and in whatever way we can, teaching, instructing our children in the things of God, in the Word of God, known to their children. Again in verse 6, that the generation to come, that's repeated. When it's repeated like that, how important it is, might know them, even the children which should be born, those that are coming, who should arise and declare them to their children. See, one of these days, we're all going to pass off the scene. But if the Lord tarries, and I'm not sure it's going to be that long, but anyway, if he does, the children of the children have to hear. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. In verse 4, it talked about the wonderful works of God. Verse 7, it's not forgetting the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Verse 9 says, the children of Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was a son of whom? Say it out loud. Joseph. Joseph had two boys. Who's the other one? Manasseh. And of course, they formed the split tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, Manasseh and Ephraim. The children of Ephraim being armed. Look at this verse. It's so telling. The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, they were armed, turned back in the day of battle. That verse, first verse I had you turn to, quit you like men or be men, stand like men. Ephraim didn't do that. And we'll go to a couple other verses here. Verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. And that's where we'll stop reading. Okay, I have a little paper there if you want that to take with you. Going to look at this passage and a few others and see what happened here. What happened? Ephraim, what a heritage he had. What a blessing he had. And listen, many of us in here have had godly heritages. Perhaps not all of us, but a lot of us have. I have. My grandfather came to know the Lord at an M.R. DeHaan tent meeting in Kalamazoo. And as a result of that, his wife, Mabel Bowman, was saved. And as a result of that, all four children, including my mother, that they had, got saved. And as a result of that, all of their children, as far as I know, have received the Lord as their Savior. I have an aunt and an uncle who's passed away. The aunt lives still in Oregon. And I haven't seen, I saw those, my cousins out there when I was like this. And there's no, unfortunately, we've lost touch with them. But because of my grandfather's getting saved, what a heritage. I'm so thankful for that. My wife has a godly heritage too. But, and many of you do. And because of that, we have a great responsibility to those that follow behind us. Well, let's look at the mistakes that were made. First of all, I don't have a paper like, were there any extras? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I got my notes here. I think I can jive the two, okay? Number one, you have a blank there, I believe. And in the blank, it should say, let me just see yours. I should have, were there any in the back? The children of Israel went from ideal to ruin, spiritual heights to less than God's best. Why did they turn back in the day of battle, verse 9? Let's look at verse 8 first, okay? Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts. It talks there about their heart or hearts aright. And so the first blanks, they had weak hearts, or they had a comfort mentality. Does that fit into your blank, okay? They had weak hearts or a comfort mentality. Ephraim was protected through his life against adversary. He didn't ever resist difficulties in his earlier life. And I say that to say that it's really good for us when we face trials. This church has faced some trials. That's not bad. Maybe it's not all good. You gotta sort that out, I guess. But when you go through trials, it makes you strong. Isn't that what the Bible says? When I am weak, then I am strong. When you go through difficulties and trials, and Ephraim didn't do that. He had a weak heart. Essentially, he had a comfort mentality. And I say to you this evening that the spiritual life is a battle. It's a fight all the way through. Let me give you a few verses. These may or may not be on your paper. I forget. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The important things. The issues of life. Proverbs 6:22. When it goest, it, that's referring to the word of God, shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Hey, isn't that good? That's around the 24-hour clock. God's word strengthen us and comfort us. Instead of having a comfort mentality, you remember Jeremiah and the battles he faced all through the book of Jeremiah. They wanted to kill him. They put him in prison. And there never once was repentance going on for the people. He told them of the captivity that was coming on and God's judgment upon them, and they just resisted and resisted. When you get to chapter 20, verse 9, they had wanted to kill him, and he finally came to the place where he said, it's enough. I'm done. I'm going to quit. He didn't use those words. But then he said this. He said, what he said was, I will make mention of him no more, I think, is how it's worded. I will make mention. I'm just going to stop talking about you, God. I'm going to quit. But he went on and he said this, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up within my bones, and I could not stay. I had to go on is what he was saying. I had to. Don't have a comfort mentality in this life. God didn't put us here to have a life of ease. Ephraim apparently thought that's what he deserved. Okay, the son of Joseph, a leader. And he wanted a comfort mentality. He had a weak mind. And a lot of people are looking for that in this country. I'll tell you what, there's other places in the world where that doesn't cross people's minds near as much. But here, we have so much at our disposal, don't we? Uh-huh. Nice cars. Any one of our cars is probably nicer than half of the other people's means of transportation around the world. And we have homes and everything else and fine restaurants to eat at and good food. And a lot of places in the world are not like that. Let's not have a comfort. Let's not be at ease in Zion, so they say. Weak hearts lead to comfort mentality. Number two is from verse 8 as well. Not only did they have weak hearts, but you see, they had weak spirits, okay? And whose spirit was not steadfast with God at the end of verse 8. They had weak spirits. Or the next blank is compromise. Compromise. This is a day of compromise. Standards are changing. Methods are changing and so forth. The message, by the way, methods can change sometimes, but the message never changes. We got to keep that in mind. All right, the message never changes. But the children of Ephraim here, and Ephraim himself had a weak spirit, a spirit of compromise. Look at Joshua 16:10, if you could. Hold your place, Joshua 16:10. I want you to just see this real quick, and we'll move right along. Joshua 16, verse 10. Joshua, I'm in Judges. Joshua. Hang on. Joshua. 16. Here it is. 16, verse 10. God's instructions to Ephraim and the children of Israel were to really to destroy all of the Canaanites and otherites. Okay? To remove, when they took possession of the promised land, they were supposed to eradicate all of the ites. All right? You know what I mean by that? Hittites, Canaanites, all of the ites, whatever else there were. But look what verse 10 says. This is referring to Ephraim now. You see his name mentioned in the previous verse. It says in verse 10, "And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute." In other words, they were the servants of the Canaanites. That was because of their failure. Compromise. That's about pure and simple compromise. They had a weak spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I don't know if this is on your paper or not. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And then Luke 9:55. Jesus rebuked his disciples for their wrong spirit. He said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." The wrong spirit reflected a weak heart, going back to the previous point. Wrong spirit, weak heart. And they go together, and it did not go well for Ephraim. Let's go to number three. Not only is there a weak heart, is there a weak spirit, but there's a weak will. Or in the first blank, I think, their weak will or feet. Put that in the first blank. Because the second blank is cowardice. Cowardice. C-O-W-A-R-D-I-C-E. I'd need help on that, so that's why I do it, okay? They had a weak will, weak feet, or cowardice, all right? It's easy to make commitments sometimes, but failure comes from a weak heart and a weak spirit. Look at Judges 12, verse 2. Judges. Judges 12, verse 2. They had a weak will. They were cowards. 12, verse 2. All right, we have to include verse 1. "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and sent unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine houses with fire." Now, they're making this up, because notice what Jephthah says in verse 2. "Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands." The truth of the story was, even though they made it sound good, was they did not go to battle when they should have. They were cowards. It's kind of ironic, in fact, that they talk that way, but it's just big talk. Their true character was cowardice. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So a weak will and weak feet can be directed by the word of God. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And so take action. Do something when it's called for in your life. Let's go to the last one, verse 11. And forgot his works. So the blank is weak minds. They had a weak heart. They had weak spirit. They had weak hearts and a comfort mentality. Oh, let's just take it easy. And they had weak spirits. They had compromise. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but all of these things are prevalent in our churches today amongst Christians. Weak hearts, comfort mentality, weak spirits, compromise, weak wills or weak feet, or cowardice. We're just cowards sometimes. And the last one is a weak mind, forgetting, or carnality, if you'll put that in the second blank there. Carnality. God had warned the children of Israel. In fact, it's not just here. Twice it says, it points out that they forgot his works. But you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, and God instructed, clearly instructed the children of Israel not to forget his works, is how it says it there. Don't forget my works. And they flat out did. And we can't forget what God has done for us and what he's doing for us. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, you know what they did? They put stone. The river dried up, right, so they could cross. In the springtime of the year, if you go there now, it doesn't look like a whole lot. Just a lazy little stream. You think you get across it easy. Maybe there are places I'm sure you could wade across it today. But that's because Israel and the other bordering countries have taken a lot of that water. But in the Bible days, there were no dams on the river, and they weren't taking the water for irrigation. And so in the springtime of the year, that was a mighty rushing stream, river. And so God did a miracle when he stood the waters up. He separated the waters, and they walked over on dry land, just like Moses at the Red Sea. And when they were in the middle of that river, God instructed them to place 12 stones on top of each other so that they wouldn't forget. And not only there in the river, because eventually the waters came and covered that, but they were there still, but the Lord instructed them, do it on the land as well. Put 12 stones on the land so that you'll remember what I've done for you. And as generations came and went, those stones probably stood for a long time. And in a family, perhaps a boy would ask his dad, Dad, what is that tower of stones doing there? And the dad would say to the boy, well, son, let me tell you. We were at the Jordan River, and God told us to go across, and it was rapids, and there was no way across, but God did a miracle, and he separated those waters for us. We were able to walk across on dry land. That's what God did for us. Never forget that, son. And he'd grow up, and he'd have a son. That son would say, hey, Dad, what are those 12 stones there for? The dad would say, well, son, let me tell you. It goes back a long time now. But many years ago, when we were in the wilderness and came to the promised land, there was that river, Jordan. The waters were deep, and they were roaring, and God told us to cross, and he made a way. He opened the waters so that we could walk across. And we did. And we went in, and we conquered. And Jericho fell, and other cities fell before our armies, and God did a great work. never forget the works of God in your life. Remember when He saved you? Yeah, I do. Do you remember how He's led you through the years? Do you remember turning points perhaps you were at in your life when you had to make decisions and God helped you through? Do you remember trials that perhaps you faced? Maybe it was health trials and scares. God saw you through. Don't have weak minds. Don't forget His works. And let them strengthen your life today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll sing that chorus that's left on our song sheet tonight. Let's just take a moment. And I ask you to think about what God has in this for you this evening from His Word. I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray silently to yourself. Thank Him for His mighty works in your life. Thank Him for salvation. Listen, if there's known sin in your life, confess it. If you've never been saved, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, oh my, oh my, I'd want to know that. I pray, say something to somebody, and we'll be happy to show you how to be saved. I'm going to pray out loud. Would you pray silently where you are tonight? This is our invitation time. Do business with God. Make decisions. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Help us to be strong in the faith and not be quitters. Lord, help us in the day of battle not to turn back. Father, I pray that You would strengthen us tonight. Meet every need of every individual that is here. I pray that we would confess known sin. Lord, that we would trust You for whatever battle it is we have in this life. May we go forth in the name of the Lord to battle this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please?